As this meeting starts, I'm reminded of a verse. Except the Lord build a house, they're going to labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman just wakes up in vain. We need the Lord to meet us in this meeting. And as I have been seeking the Lord about it, how does a meeting start? Lord, how would you today like a meeting to start? And he has dealt with me. Start it at the end. So I would like to share with you what he has been dealing with me about. That if I could put a topic to this message, it would be three words. Be ye ready. And you know, at a time like that, with those three words, it's easy for us to go through life comparing ourselves with others. The Pharisee did it when he came in to pray. He stood there and he saw how he was, and he compared it to the other, and he felt pretty good. It says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So as we come into this meeting, I want to just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I tell you what, I want to be ready. And it's not going to be good enough to say, I must be ready because I'm better than this one over here. Lord, standing before you with the things that I have, the knowledge that I have, that the Lord would help me to be ready. When I hear those three words, immediately my mind goes to the end. The end for me. You know, we hear about the end of all things. In 2 Peter, it almost looked like it was just about to happen. And it has been 2,000 years ago. And yet we're still reminded the end is coming. Be ye ready. Well, I'm made to realize at the age that I am, and each one of you, if you could look back over your life and have a piece of paper and write down every person that you have known that is in eternity today, it'd be a long list. While I'm thinking, you know, we talk about the, it talks about the scoffers in 2 Peter 3. Yep, you've been saying it's coming. I can remember when I was a child, Brother Salmon saying it's very close, it's at the door. And you know, we've gone on many years. You know, that should be no consolation to me that the end hasn't happened yet. Because just recently, some have stepped out into eternity that we would have never thought would happen. So both of them have the same ending for me whenever it happens. Eternity is out ahead. You know, something that we're faced with today, I don't see them much in the parks, but there used to be when I was a child, they had the old merry-go-round. Life today is like that. It's spinning. You know, it was probably intended for those to be for children to get on them, and it just turns real easy around and you enjoy the scenery. But for boys, it wasn't for that purpose. It was, let me see if I can throw you off by spinning it fast. I can remember, especially if you're on the outside of it, when it goes to spinning, you can wrap arms and legs around it and still feel like you're going to be thrown off. You know, that's where we are today. It's a picture of today. Life is spinning so fast that it's easy for my focus to just be on tomorrow's life happenings. For me to be ready, there are some things that I need to do on a regular basis. It's real hard for me to stop life and think about eternal things. It seems like with all the modern conveniences that we have today, we would have lots of time on our hands. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night thinking about things that you need to accomplish that did not get done the day before, and it just seems like life is spinning? Today, I believe the Lord would like for us to start with flip the switch of life for a little bit and be able to think on when you meditate, when you spend a lot of time thinking about something, what is it? You know, it's easy for me to, if I'm not careful in this temporal world that we're living in, to think about saving money, buying houses. Those are not wrong things. But I must spend some time thinking on eternal things.
Amen.
Going to have to shut it off. We have lots of things available to be reminders of to us of eternal things. One of them is our songs that we sing. If we would just stop sometime, stop life for a little bit, and think on just some of the songs that have been inspired by others, there would be thoughts like this. I thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. You know, it would be good for us sometime to stop and think, you know what, time is just moving on. It seems like it always will. But guaranteed there's coming a day where it's going to bump into eternity and it's going to be stopped. Another one is, a shudder came over my spirit when I thought what a moment might cost. When I start thinking about eternal things, then a shudder comes over my spirit when I realize, you know what, I'm constantly making decisions that are taking me in some direction. You know, a moment of a decision that heads me in the wrong direction could start me down a path that at the end of it all, I'm not ready. Time speeds onward to eternity. Soon we'll all be in eternity. Talked about hear the solemn footsteps. You know, it's hard for us to shut out things to get quiet, really quiet, to where I can think about songs like this. Or to meditate on scriptures like 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. We need these reminders. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We have a long list of people that have already gone. But you know what? My number is going to be called. There will be nothing more important than being ready on that day. The world tells us there's a lot of things to pursue right now, but it's going to be very important for me to not let anything cause a distraction from me being ready on that day. There's a picture that I need to always have in my mind. When I stop life and I meditate for a little bit, I need to think about this picture over in Revelations 20:11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. You know, there's not much regard given to God today in our world, in our country. But you know what? That doesn't stop who he is and who we will stand before. There's not much. I wish there were more in our country when they're looking at decisions and directions that our country is going to at least stop and say, wonder what God thinks about this, because one day I will stand before him. Yes. We don't hear much about that. But you know what? It's very important for us today to shut life down some and give some thought to eternity. Romans 14. Because we have lots of reminders for us. 14 and 11 says, it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, we're living in a time where it doesn't seem possible that every knee is going to one day bow to God. There's a lot of people don't even believe there is a God. But you know what? I need to always keep it in my mind. There's one day that every knee is going to bow. There's another scripture that says every knee should bow. It should. But you know what? If it's not done here, it will be done sometime. For me to think of the seriousness of it, I can remember Brother Sammons in his messages years ago when I was a boy. He had a saying, steady as you go. In other words, doesn't matter what all is happening around me, whether it's in the religious world or whether it's in the temporal world around me, hold it steady.
Yes.
I want to be ready when he calls for me. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes 8 and 12. Because I tell you, we can get distracted by the world around us going the direction that they're going, and seems to be nothing done to them by God. This one says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, remember something, it's going to be well with the righteous. It's going to be well with them that fear God. This needs to be part of the meditation that I give, balancing out life, because around us, we're in a day today where evil has been counted as good, and good has been counted as evil. And we're living in a time where I need to stop and understand where the balance is, so that when he calls for me, I'll be ready. Over in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, he started out with just giving us a reminder. I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And you know, a message like this, there's not a verse that I will use that you'll say, I've never heard that verse before. We've all heard them. But what we're wanting to do is be a reminder to us. Bring it back up to the surface, because one day it will be a reality to us. And it goes on through there. There'll be those folks that say, where is the promise of his coming? We've been hearing it all our life. And you know what? It's real easy for me to think back 40 years ago. I heard it, and it still hadn't happened. So maybe 40 years from now, it still won't happen. But you know what? I'm coming to the age now where I don't take a consolation in that, because my time is coming, and I want to be ready for that time. So I go on down. It says, even though they're scoffers, it says, the day of the Lord will come. Those are meditations that I have and need to have in my mind. Seems like the wicked are in control today. But remember, the day of the Lord is coming. And at that day, I want to be ready. The 11th verse tells us, if I really believe these things, what kind of a person, what manner of person ought I to be? How should I be living my life every day? Because I really think whenever I start meditating more on, I want to be ready for that day. Lord, I want you to deal with my heart and make adjustments that need to be made. Lord, I want to give you opportunity to be able to make those adjustments for me. But then I see a verse that tells me about the heart of God. Because it's real easy for me to see all these others and almost begin to believe that God is just anxious to cut me off. Just looking for a way that he can find that I won't be ready on that day. Here's his heart. It's in 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering to usward. You know what? That's to us here, just as well as to the world out there. He's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any would perish, but that everybody would come to repentance. You know what? Throughout my life, he has a desire that on that day, I'll be ready. So he's wanting to do everything he can to help me to be ready. There is a confidence that the Christian can have. It says, nothing can touch me, though life's billows may roll. Nothing can touch me, he's still in control. Nothing can touch me unless he says it can, because nothing can touch me that doesn't pass through his hand. You know, Job said he was a perfect and an upright man. He feared God and he eschewed evil. You know, trouble still came to Job, but it was how Job handled those troubles. In one day's time, all of his temporal things were gone. And you know what? There are people that when they lose their temporal things, their life is gone if you put your heart on it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Tell you what, if I've got my heart, and I believe Job, we see that Job had his heart on God and not his temporal possessions. Because when they were gone, what did he say? The Lord gave it. It was the Lord that took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, to the Christian that is ready, we don't know what the future holds for America, but we know who holds the future. And I can put that in his hands without fear. He will take care of me. But what I've got to do is be ready. It's very important that I remember that everything that comes into my life, it's allowed by God for a purpose. Then I have to ask a question. Am I willing to allow him to work that purpose? Do I invite him to work his purpose in my life by whatever comes my way? You know, so often when trouble comes to me, I've got one request. Lord, get me out of this trouble. I had this back problem a couple weeks, and I could just see, Lord, I tell you what, I'm going to work for you, so back pain free. Well, you know what? I have to say, okay, Lord, I commit all these things into your hands. I invite you to work your purpose. I'll continue on even with a backache. God can help us. It's so easy for me to have a direction that I see my prayers need to be answered. The children of Israel did it. They had enough manna. I'm through with it. I want something different. I want meat. And it says that I can just see the picture of them praying to God, quit the manna and give me some meat. It says he did it. And I can about imagine them praising God when the meat came. But you know, there's another verse that comes with that. It says he gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. You know, I can desire for temporal things, even a backache, to be gone right now. You know, God gives us that opportunity. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. But at the same time, with all of these things that we would like for God to adjust in our life, let's remember something. He's trying to work for my eternal good. He's going to send some things into my life. It may not even be for me. It may be for somebody else. But help me to invite him. Lord, I want you to work your purpose in my life because I want to be ready when you call for me. This message started one day when I went to work. I work in an office building doing maintenance, and there have been times where there's maybe up to 1,200 people in the building, the buildings that I work in. And so we have an emergency generator, and it's critical because should the power to the building go off, you want to safely get those people out of the building. Well, you know what? That generator cannot produce all the electricity that that building needs. So it has switches that automatically will switch. If our power from the company, OG&E, shuts down, then these switches sense it and they come on, start the generator. Well, every week we will start that generator and make sure it runs, make sure there's no leaks. But once a month we do a loaded test. We simulate that we have lost power from the power company. Want to be able to see that this thing will perform on its own. I've done it enough now that I found myself, as I would walk toward this test, praying. It's early in the morning. We've had to schedule it. Lord, I would appreciate it if you would make this test to go well, because I don't want to do it again for another month. I did it on this morning. And so I was walking to there. Lord, I would appreciate it. I'll thank you for it. And the elevator section of it failed. You know what? I was disappointed. Why? Now I've got to reschedule it. I've got to call in the elevator company. I've got to go through this hassle when, Lord, what I wanted was for you to give me good things. You know, the Lord started talking to me. Dan, that's the way you are about life in general. Give me good things in my life. You know, if he would have caused me, Lord, you remember he sent leanness to their soul. There was a price tag that came with him answering their request. If he had given me the request that I had that day and said, okay, Dan, that's what you want. You got a perfect test today. You know what I would have done? I would have walked away from there. Thank you, Lord. Now I can go about my other duties. But instead, I've got a problem to face. You know what I realized? In that generator test and also in my life, I need to change my prayer. For the generator test now, I want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm about to do this test. If there is anything that is wrong here, would you cause it to surface that I'll be able to fix this problem? Because if I don't, if the Lord would have caused everything to run smooth for me that day, but there really was a problem. Remember, he said he sent the request, but he sent leanness to their soul. There was a great price tag to it. And a few days later, power shuts off from the power company, and now we really need it. And the elevator section fails. And we've got 13 elevators full of people that are stuck. Because I had a direction that I wanted life to go. You know, that's just a temporal thing. But it sure woke me up to my own way of living. You know what? I want good things in my life. I don't even want a backache. I want to feel well. I want my job to go well. I want my family to be well. But I want to be ready. I've got one here. My desire is, you know what? I can focus on requesting the Lord give me good things in my life. And eternity's coming. You know, we have the ability today to short circuit God's plan for our life. I have the ability to change circumstances when I want things to go well in my life. But you know what? Those very things could be the thing that God is sending to me to help me to be ready when he calls for me. You know, there was a time where Samuel received some instruction from Eli. Samuel heard a voice and he thought it was Eli's, and he went to him a couple times. And then Eli realized, you know what? That's the Lord speaking to him. So he told Samuel this. He said, next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. You know, it would be very good for me with the things that happen in my life to say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Is this thing that you're allowing to come to me, does it have a purpose that I'm not able to see? I want to be ready on that day that you call for me. We sing a song sometimes. Though in trial I suffer, he keeps me content. You know, as I looked at that, I said, can I really sing that song that way? Or do I have to back it up and say, though in trial I suffer, he has a desire to keep me content. You know what? We can have it the way it is written in the book. Because I can realize, you know what? Lord, I believe that you're putting into the life of a Christian the things that will help him or possibly can help others. He keeps me content. He sees before me the dangers prepared. And what does he do? Does he give me everything I want? And in mercy, his wisdom, the flames may have sent that my soul greater woe might be spared. Now, what's a greater woe than me having a backache for 3 weeks? There are greater woes. Should I miss heaven, there are greater woes. And he could possibly be sending some things to help me to be ready. I remember Brother Marty in messages that he preached before. I don't know if it was a dream or what, but he said it came a realization to him, you missed it. You were not ready on the day that I called for you. And he said, I asked, Lord, couldn't you have sent something to me? He said he's not willing that any perish. So he sends me all good things in my life? No. He said, couldn't you have sent something that would cause me to be ready? And so the Lord spoke to him and said, yes, I had an affliction for you. I had trouble for your life that would have helped you to be ready, but you didn't want it. In mercy and wisdom, it's possible that the flames may have been sent, that my soul, greater woe, might be spared. In 1 Peter 4 and 12, talks about troubles that come to us. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, this is the time that we're talking about, be ye ready for that day. When his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Think it not strange when fiery trials come your way, because those things could very well be my ticket to making heaven my home by adjusting my life to where I am ready on the day that he calls for me. Some of you know Sister Maxine, pastor there at Oklahoma City where we go. She preached a series of messages on the topic of having the mind of a martyr. You know, it's easy right here to say, yep, I got the mind of a martyr. But you know, it's different when trouble comes to you. A martyr, one who dies for their convictions. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the mind of a martyr. They didn't have to die, but they were willing to. When they said, our God's able, but if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. I think what the message there was about consecration. Me saying, Lord, whatever comes into my life, I give it to you because you have a purpose in it. I think maybe we sang the song already. To thee my all resign. O let thy will be mine. In thy great love divine, keep me, my Lord. When the disciples said, Lord, we'd like for you to teach us to pray. And he said, here's how you do it. After this manner pray ye, first thing I do is I realize who God is compared to me. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, you are all present. You know everything. You see everything. And I acknowledge that. But then there's something else that came. Thy kingdom come. I want your will to be done in this little bit of earth, just like in heaven. That prayer needs to be my prayer for me to be ready. You know, Jesus left us an example when he prayed to his Father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know what? He desired to have better things in his life. I desire to have all good things in mine also. But then how did he end his prayer? Nevertheless, after I've told you how I would like for you to do it, if there's another way, after it all, I say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what we have the opportunity. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known. We can tell the Lord exactly, Lord, I would like for it to be this way and this way. I've got it all put together for you, Lord. You don't even need to think about it. Just do it for me. But then I've got to stop and say, Lord, eternity's coming. And there may be some things that need to be refined in me before I stand before you. So I end it with, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So Sister Maxine gave us the messages, the mind of a martyr. And time passed, and life was good. no troubles coming on, and we almost forgot about the messages. And then one day, life changed for her. She fell and broke her leg right up by her hip, to the point that she thought, well, maybe I can just get a cast put on it. And she went in and they said, no, you'll have to have surgery for this. And she said, I would like to be taken back home again. I'm going to trust the Lord for this. You know, she went home with the knowledge that she may never walk again. The bones are not even lined up. And went home and put herself in the hands of the Lord. You know, we believe in divine healing. We believe God's able to take that bone, put it right back in place, heal it. He could do it instantly. He could have done it at the hospital. It was not put together at the hospital. And any time she would be moved, that bone's just moving around in there with the muscle and everything. I remember her saying, they're coming tomorrow to take me home. And all they have to do right now is just try to turn me a little bit, and I scream out with pain. I would sure like it if the Lord would help me as they roll me down the halls, that I would be able to not scream out in pain. I told her, I said, Sister Maxine, we'll pray that way. But should you have the pain that you have to scream out in pain, give it to the Lord. Well, I was at work the next day when they called me and said, you know what happened? Said, when they got ready to move me, she said there was no pain. They moved me to a gurney. They couldn't even turn her before without that bone moving around. So they loaded me on the gurney and rolled me down the halls with no pain. They loaded me, you know, because she's willing. Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. They loaded her in the ambulance and took her home, took her out of there and put her in her bed with no pain. To me, she had lots of trouble after that. But you know what? That stood as a monument to me. God stepped in and helped her to be able to go home. You know, we also believe he's the same yesterday, yes, today, right, and forever. He has the ability to line things up just like I would like for them to be lined up. But we also believe in something else. We believe in divine trust. Right. Trusting God to know things better than I know it. To trust that God is working for my eternal good in this trouble that I'm facing today. And when he has gotten me to the place that I need to be, he will do as he wants with the trouble that I face. You know, scripture says in Proverbs 3 and 5, 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know what? That's for the Christian. Because I get some things lined up. God, this is how you need to work things. I remember her prayer was, Lord, I tell you what, if you will heal me. She had people, a lot of people coming to see her because she was expected to never walk again. She had a lot of people come and said it'll be such a testimony to be able to give them. You know what they gave her? For several months, she laid in the bed. She could have easily tried to deal with God and said, Lord, I tell you what, when you heal me, I'll preach again. You know what she did? It's called consecration. She gave herself to the Lord in the condition that she was in. And for weeks at a time, she preached from her bed by Zoom. We would be in the congregation. She would preach from her bed. You know what? That was some powerful preaching. Because it's not just that she found some instruction in the Bible and is reading scriptures to us, but instead she's living the life right here. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, her testimony herself was that she came to levels of consecration that would have never happened in good health. Mm-hmm. you know, we feel like we're consecrated to everything. But in good health, it's at a different level than it is when I don't see what the future holds. You know, it wasn't just for her. It was a challenge to the congregation to watch her come to a hard place of not knowing what the future held. There's a little plaque that says, given our unknown future, trusting our unknown future into the hands of a known God, that He is able to take care of whatever trouble we come to. She didn't know what the future held, did not know if she would ever walk again. You know, God has been helping her to where that bone, I didn't know it was possible for it to even happen. The bone did not come back together end for end. It laid side by side. I thought, that'll never heal. You know, God cemented that together to where she's walking. She has come to the meeting house and gradually improved to where she stands at the pulpit now to preach. You know, she still has a desire that God would help her to be able to walk normally again. She uses a walker. But you know what? There's something else that's even greater than that. Lord, I'm headed for eternity. And if this is what I need, if this is what others need, I consecrate to that. You know, it could look like those weeks and months of her laying in the hospital bed at home was a waste of time. Not in the light of eternity. Not when we really can stop life enough to realize I'm headed somewhere that will never have an end. And I don't have a chance to come back and make adjustments again if I miss it. So I want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, send into my life whatever is necessary. And help me to hand it back to you. Lord, if this is what you see I need, I get to ask Him, Lord, I would like for this to be taken away. Jesus did. But then He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's another verse in 1 Peter 1 and 7. It's how God looks at our troubles, I believe. The seventh verse says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know, if I can compare spiritual with temporal for a little bit, gold is very valuable. I think the last time I checked, it's somewhere around $1,900 an ounce. Got a lot of value to that. This says the trial of your faith is more valuable than that. How can it be? It's when I start looking at things that are eternal. I can build up a bank account here. I can spend my time going after temporal things here. And when I breathe my last breath, I'm going to leave it all behind. But this trial of my faith says that being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory when be ready. At the time that I'm going to need to be ready, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so valuable. So I look at Paul when he had so many troubles coming into his life. How did he see them? You know what? He had a request. He asked God to take away some of them. And God said, I've got grace that's sufficient for you. He saw that Paul needed that. Paul even recognized himself that there's a reason that this one has come to me. But you know, there's places that he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with what is out ahead. That's why it is so important for us as Christians to stop life, get real quiet, and ask God, Lord, open to me what's coming for me. Do I have any adjustments that I need to make in my life? Lord, I'd appreciate it if you tell me now. I could have had the generator test go perfect, and I would have thanked God for it. I don't have to reschedule it. I don't want that nuisance anyhow. And there's a problem down below that's bubbling. The children of Israel were granted their request. They got meat in abundance. But it says it brought leanness to their soul. Many times, if I'm not careful, my desire in temporal things can bring leanness to my soul. So what I want to, so does it mean that I quit my job? Material things mean nothing to me? No, what he wants us to do is spend enough time thinking on things eternal that it balances it all out. While I go back home from here and I go back to work making money, that I will realize this is not the most important thing. I'm going to leave it all behind one day. So Lord, send into my life whatever you need to. I'd like for us in closing, I think it's song number 128. And you know, there can be things in our life that I wish it were different. But if I see it different, I'll realize it has value. One of the verses says, though my hopes and my plans may seem blighted, I will love thee and trust in thee still. For I know all is well that thou doest, and my heart says, amen, to thy will. And then it ends up with the ultimate. When I pass to that heavenly country, folks, I tell you, if we happen to be ready on that day, there will be nothing that we leave behind that will say, but I gave that up. It'll be what we gain. When I pass to that heavenly country, it says, this forever shall be my rejoicing, because this is what caused me to be ready, that my heart said, amen to thy will. My desire is to be ready. And I realize that in myself, I'm going to miss it if I don't ask God to chart my course. Send to me those things that help me to realize the temporal is not the most important. The spiritual is the most important. You know, when he looked at the troubles that he faced, he said there's temporal and there's spiritual. If I'm looking at the temporal things, it can seem like a waste for Sister Maxine to be in the bed that long. But if I start thinking about the spiritual things, and I realize, you know what, some things are sent not just for that person, but for others around them to think seriously about our souls and what the value that it will be for me to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to invite God to come into my life and adjust it. Send to me things that will cause it to bubble to the top, instead of me wanting all good things in my life. I desire your prayers.